Thank you, ladies. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, please. Genesis chapter 29. Genesis chapter 29. Let's read verses 25 to 27. We will continue our study on the life of Jacob. Genesis chapter 29, verses 25 to 27. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me?" And Laban said, "It must not be so done in our country, to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also, for the service which thou shalt serve with me, yet 7 other years. Let's bow for prayer. Our God, we are here to praise you, and thank you for that reminder this morning. So we ask now that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we might praise you in word and in deed. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, amen. The context to our passage of Scripture is that Laban has deceived Jacob into marrying Leah, not Rachel, who he thought he was marrying, verse 25. And we see from this that Jacob reaps what he has sown. He has sown deceit towards his brother Esau and father Isaac, and he reaps deceitfulness at the hand of Laban, his uncle of all people, and his future father-in-law. This is that part called discipline that is needed in each of our lives if we're going to press forward towards Christ-likeness. God must address those rough edges, and Jacob, like all of us, have some rough edges. I read the other morning, once again, Hebrews chapter 12, and I was mindful that God chastens us for our profit, the Bible teaches us. In contrast to a parent chastens or disciplines a child because the parent wants the child to please them through obedience and honor. But more so, God chastens you and I as God's people for our profit. So God is chastening Jacob, and Jacob has a deceitful heart, desperately wicked, just like your heart, just like my heart. So God has to address that deceitfulness, and God gives Jacob a double portion of his own medicine. Jacob the deceiver is deceived. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So God disciplines Jacob through the medium of sowing and reaping. He reaps what he has sown. He has sown deceitfulness, and he is deceived. And he cries out as a victim in verse 25, "Wherefore hast thou beguiled me? Oh, Laban, how could you do this to me?" The cry of a victim. "I've been victimized. Where's my compensation? Where's the nearest social security building? I'm a victim of my circumstances." Well, Laban responds in verse 26. He tells Jacob, well, you know how it is in our country. It's not right for a younger to be married before the eldest. That was his excuse. No, that wasn't true. It wasn't true. That wasn't the custom of the day. It wasn't necessary that the older child be married before the younger child, but that's what Laban said. Well, you know, we just couldn't have Rachel married off before Leah. Leah is older. And then Laban went on to say in verse 27, well, if you would just complete your 7 years, please, for Leah, and then I will give you Rachel, but for another 7 years. Oh, Jacob has met his match, well and truly. But we must be mindful that God is in control. And God is at work. And it's not about Laban, it's about God. The working of God in the heart of Jacob. God uses Laban, yes. But it's all about the workings of God. See, God wants to do a work in Jacob's heart that he moves beyond deceitfulness and becomes a prince with God, Israel. God had to discipline him. God had to reshape him. Well, at least Laban was kind enough to say to Jacob, okay, you complete your 7 years for Leah. I will give you Rachel to marry, but you will pay by installments. You will work 7 years from that point. So at least Laban didn't make Jacob wait literally 7 years for Rachel. No, no, he gave Rachel in marriage, but you've got to work for her. So he had some kindness in his little soul. And then the Bible goes on to teach there in verse number 30 that Jacob, he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah. And then in verse number 31, the Bible teaches us that God had compassion on Leah, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, that's a very strong word, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Jacob marries Rachel, he works a further 7 years for her, and it's evident that Jacob loves Rachel more than he loves Leah. And Leah is mindful of that. She's not stupid. She's not silly. She's not simple. She can see that she is second fiddle to Rachel. In fact, the Bible uses a very strong word, hate. The Lord saw that Leah was hated, hated by who? Not by God, but hated by Jacob. That God compassionately opens her womb so she can give birth to children. So even though Leah was hated, God enabled her to conceive, but the Bible teaches us Rachel was barren at this point. The Bible teaches us that children are a heritage from the Lord. They are a gift from God. Note there in Psalm 127, please, Psalm 127. Psalm 127, verse number 3, lo, children are a heritage or a gift of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, and they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. So the Bible teaches us that children are not a curse, they are a blessing. And God enables Leah to give birth to children. And we live in such a godless day in which a woman today, the average woman today, would rather have a pet dog and have vet fees than have a child. That is ungodly. And that is a work of the devil. A woman that loves God, a woman made in the image of God, will have a desire to bear children, and the ability to bear children is a gift from God. And yet we have women today that are just denying that privilege. Well, God enabled Leah to bear children. God was compassionate towards her. Though Leah was hated, God enabled her to conceive, but Rachel, not at this stage. And if we go back to Genesis chapter 29, we note here in verses 32 to 35, the birth of her four children. So within the biblical setting, the ability to have a child was seen as a gift from God. Children were valued. And the ability to give life was seen as a token of God's grace upon your life. And God was gracious to Leah, enabled her to have children. And from verses 32 to 35, we have an outline of her four children. Note there in verse 32, Leah conceived and bare a son, her firstborn, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. See, Leah is craving the love, craving love from Jacob. And she's hoping that maybe if she gives birth that she will be loved by Jacob. So not only in the biblical setting were children seen as a gift from God, but when a child was named, it was named with purpose. Doesn't seem like people name children nowadays with much purpose. They look, what are they? They Google, what are the most famous 10 names today for a boy? And they ask Mr. Google or Siri, what do you recommend? But not in the biblical setting. They waited until the child was born and they noted the significance of the birth. The child's name had some meaning, had some substance. And my friend, may I submit to you this morning that Leah did not name her son Reuben simply because she loved the name Reuben. Name Reuben doesn't do much for me, personally. But the reason why she named this child Reuben, note there that she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. The name Reuben means God has seen. God has seen. God has seen my affliction. So Leah names her firstborn child Reuben. God has seen. What has God seen? God has seen mine affliction. God has seen my affliction and he has blessed me in the midst thereof by giving me a child. And by the way, to have a son, first and foremost, that was another bonus. To have a firstborn son, then you were really blessed of God. To have a child was a gift from God. They would name their children with some significance. But to have a firstborn as a son, God is on my side.
So therefore, Leah named this child Reuben because she affirmed the fact that God has seen my affliction and God has blessed me accordingly. See, Leah acknowledged the presence of God in her life. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Beloved, difficulties in our lives are no surprise to God. God is not surprised. But do we acknowledge his watchful eye over us? God is watching over us. In Exodus 3:7, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. See, Leah names her firstborn child Reuben. God has seen mine affliction. Leah acknowledges the presence of God in her life. Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me, said the psalmist. God is touched with the feelings of our infirmity. He sees. And Leah took comfort in the fact that God sees. God is a witness of my afflictions, but yet God has blessed me with a child. God has blessed me with a son. I will call him Reuben, for God has seen my affliction. Surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Yet in the same vein, she said to herself, well, since I've given birth to a child, a son, maybe Jacob will now love me. Then the Bible goes on to teach in verse number 33 that she conceives again. Now we're not told how frequent, but she conceives again. It could have been within the year, could have been within a couple of years. We're not told. Comparing scripture with scripture, it doesn't seem like there was much of an interval between the birth of each of these children. Verse number 33, she conceived again and bare a son. Well, another son. Another boy. And she said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. Simeon. The name Simeon means God hears. God not only sees, but God hears. God has not only seen my affliction, God has heard my cry, and God has given me another son. So therefore, because God has seen my affliction, God has heard my cry, I'm going to call this child Simeon to remind me that God has a listening ear. I'm so thankful that God has a listening ear. God will hear the cries of his people. God will hear our cries in our times of disappointment. Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray, said the psalmist, and cry aloud, he shall hear my voice. Psalm 55, verse 17. My friend, God sees. God hears your cry. God not only has seen mine affliction, said Leah, but God has also heard my cry. God has given me another son. I'm going to call his name Simeon. To remind me, beyond the fact that, oh, Simeon, that's a beautiful name, that God hears. Reuben, God sees. And then we read on verse number 34. You still with me? Look at verse 34. She conceived again. And bare a son. Another son. Another boy. But note here in verse number 34. Now this time, surely by now my husband, this time will my husband be joined unto me. Because I have borne him three sons, therefore was his name called Levi. Reuben, God sees. Simeon, God hears. Levi, what does that mean? It means to join. It means to be united. So why did Leah call her third son Levi? She called him Levi because she was hoping surely three sons, three boys, in quick succession, surely he's going to love me now. We're going to be joined, we're going to be unified. Obviously, Leah was not unify with Jacob because Jacob loved Rachel. Obviously, there was a practical, personally feeling of a part for Leah. I said, surely, I've had three sons to Jacob. Surely, I'm going to be now finally joined unto him. That was her prayer. Actually, it wasn't her prayer. That's what she hoped. There's no mention of God here in verse number 34. Surely Jacob will love me now. I've borne him three sons. So in Levi, she gives no mention, there is no mention of God. God doesn't get any credit. With Reuben, God gets some credit. God sees. With Simeon, God gets credit. God hears. But there's no mention of God here in verse 34 with the birth of this third son. She's just hopeful that this will unite her to her husband. How often we live out our lives and God gets no mention. God gets no acknowledgement. She's hoping that this will bind Jacob to her because of her fruitful womb. Yet there is no mention of her God here. There is no reference to God in the name Levi. It just means joined, connected, united. And even though it would seem that by this point, possibly Leah's a little bit discouraged, she's had one son, not much has changed. She has a second son, not much has changed. It would seem that she doesn't mention God here, but yet God in His graciousness gives her another child, or maybe she has just lost it for a little spiritually. But yet God is good to her and gives her a son. My point is simply this, that even though Leah ignores God this time, giving birth to Levi, God does manifest His grace to Levi and to his family. Note there in Numbers chapter 18, please, the tribe of Levi was a very important tribe in God's economy. There in Numbers chapter 18, verses 2 to 4, Numbers chapter 18, verses 2 to 4, and thy brethren also of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of thy father, bring thou with thee, that they may be joined unto thee and minister unto thee. But thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of witness. And they shall keep thy charge, the charge of all the tabernacle,
Only they shall not come nigh the vessels of the sanctuary and the altar, and neither they nor ye also die. Verse 4, and they shall be joined unto thee, and keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation. And for all the service of the tabernacle, a stranger shall not come nigh unto you. So even though Leah ignores God, it would seem, at this time, in giving birth to Levi, God manifests his grace to Levi, and he becomes that priestly line, and it's the tribe or the family of Levi that were responsible for the care of the tabernacle, to serve within the context of the tabernacle, to aid God's people in worship. So God is gracious to Leah. Even though she makes no reference to her God here in his birth, we could assume that she's discouraged by this point, rightfully, understandably so. This is her third child, and still Jacob keeps his distance. So maybe she has a bit of a wobble spiritually, just like we have wobbles spiritually every now and again. Talk to me? Yes, all of us do.